today is a transition class. I've kind of finished with the Kaliya pastimes. The nature of this medium that I'm speaking on, some should try it sometime. Well, you speak and you can't actually see anybody in the audience and you're not even sure who's there. And that's why at the end I always like when people say hello, I get a kind of a sense of who I'm talking to. And I've seen that, you know, we're going to, it was some prayers. And it's beautiful, but I wasn't confident that I could present them in a way that it can engage the audience. That's why I also don't read long purports, even though they're really wonderful. It's somehow hard for the audience to kind of focus unless there's an active agent kind of getting into their mind and keeping them alive, unless they're very, very determined. So I'm going to, actually, I think it's going to be quite exciting, at least for today, and then I'm willing to accept suggestions for the next thing. I'm pretty busy. I don't have really that much time to prepare another kata. I thought maybe I'll do an old one, which is The Wives of the Brahmins, which is, of course, it's always new because they have new realizations and I'm studying things, but it has a certain type of vibe. Even their prayers, the Wives of the Brahmins, are very similar to the Gopis. That's one idea I had. let me just constantly got to be doing different stuff here. Keep my one second. I'm just looking for one thing. Excuse me for a second. I found it. Thank you. So today I think I'm going to read from this book that I'm studying every day with a group of people calling Following the Angels, The Path of Dedication by Srila B.R. Sridhar Marge. It's so powerful and nicely spoken that I feel I can read on and comment on it and we could have some nice engagement for today. Before that, because those that are on the Sangha, everyone, but especially those that are live, you know, I share my life in devotion. Of course, today, Bhakta Carl is coming. He's a professor in Iowa. Some of you may know him, also Tamal Krishnamurti's brother. He's coming with a group of seven or eight young ladies that are his students and coming to Vrindavan. So it's always people hosting people. And my class downstairs, I have a beautiful place to give class. I have a beautiful just place. It's just a great Vrindavan neighborhood where I live. It's so interesting because each day it varies so much because people are coming to Vrindavan for a week, 3 days. The audience is constantly kind of shifting. But it's so nice because I like the Vrindavan for me is the sweetness of the relationships with very, very dedicated souls from around the world and the people that live here. Very, very special. Very, very special, and especially in the winter, you see that. And the weather is quite nice, too. Unlike back in Europe and the United States right now, I heard this tremendous cold wave, but it's beautiful here. And it's just so nice, the sincerity of people, and that's life. Life is just like Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is his personality. What's his personality? It's what comes out in loving relationships. One second. And it's really a Vrindavan mood. Vrindavan's all about personality because it's where God allows one to have a relationship with him, where his personality is revealed. Excuse me for a second. So that's very, very much Vrindavan. And Bodhisattvas Parasparam, the main way that devotees love each other and reveal their selves to each other and the beauty of their selves, which is their love, Machita Matkata Prana Bodhisattvas Parasparam, which is these exchanges. It's really interesting because sometimes in my class the room is packed. Sometimes there's only six or seven people. And then there are people that really want to hear so deeply that live here and they come every day. So that's the life in Vrindavan, and that's what real life is. And that's what a Vaishnava community is. And that's why Prabhupada wanted devotees group in communities, if possible, around a economic system that doesn't crush their spirit of life. And that's what Vrindavan is. And I always joke with the devotees here that you know this is a spiritual world because no one here works. No one in Vrindavan works. Everyone just is serving Krishna. No one works. When you're here, no one. So it's actually nice. People have the day to chant and hear, go to several classes. Right now I'm holding a smaller, intimate class for just a few people. And I have a special relationship with the Sangha members. One Sangha member is here, regular listener named Sudevi, who teaches in Radhadesh. So because she's here, I have a little class in the morning with just a few people where we can go deeper and discuss things. And it's what life is. Machita machita prana. It's the prana, it's the life, it's how you live. More important than food is chanting and hearing in the association of devotees, because that nourishes the soul. Now it's 7 o'clock. I've already been up for 5 hours. I get up and I begin writing. Today the schedule is a little bit different because I have to give the class. So it takes an hour out of my morning, so I chant a little bit less now and then chant later. Another thing that I should mention to my friends is a dear friend and at a time in my life a guide in my spiritual journey, Sripad Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj, passed away in Puri at the age of 90. I'm not unaware of the ugly conflicts that happen sometimes between institutions, the nature of things, and the practical decisions sometimes people have to make in relationship to institutions that maybe do not suit their heart fully. But I can share the way I look at things, and I look at Vaishnavas. And I just read this recently, that even with Guru, the focus is not on ordinary dealings, but the focus is on the inner life and that flow of mercy that comes through that person. it's almost like everything in this world is filled with faults in one way or another, or one can perceive it, or in terms of relationships, things may come out. I know that Srila Narayan Maharaj was a source of controversy, and things were done from both sides that either side can point to as unbecoming. But I never look at what's pointed to as the person on either way. I just accept these dealings just go on in the world, but I try to see people's inner life, no matter where they are, and the contribution they make and the dedication they have. And in that regard, I think it's probably appropriate that I do say something about Srila Narayan Maharaj, because I knew him very intimately. Before there was any controversy in ISKCON, I had a friendship with him. And he shared very, very nice realizations with myself and others, and I can understand why it did become a conflict naturally, unavoidable in one sense. But he made a very wonder. He helped ISKCON a lot. I don't know if many people know that, but he did. Prabhupada did ask him to put him in samadhi, and there is of course controversy of what exactly that means. But the minimum thing is that when Prabhupada knew that he was going to leave the world, Narayan Maharaj was ready because he knew the rituals. And actually, it's very interesting. Not many people know that the mantra that is written in tilak on Prabhupada's chest when he went into samadhi. I think Narayan Maharaj supervised that. Maybe it's Radha Dasya, the service of Radha, and that's what samadhi means. The consciousness becomes, it's like Bhishma Dev, that person who fought in so many battles and that person who spoke on so many subjects. Then he focused his mind. And samadhi means that. We're doing so many things, but now it's just Nitya Lila Pravishta, entering into the Nitya Lila. And I'm confident that Narayan Maharaj also entered into that from a life of service. But so he had that service, and also, not many of you know this too, that often the Krishna doesn't encourage nepotism. Even Krishna's whole family was destroyed in a fratricidal war at Prapaschetra. It's in the Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't have any children, because there's such a tendency for nepotism that one becomes qualified simply because they are the son of someone, or in seminal succession of someone, rather than their qualities. And therefore, even Prabhupada's sons were not worthy to carry on his spiritual tradition. And even his elder son, I think it was Mathura Mohan, was a very heavy personality. He carried that side of Prabhupada. And after Prabhupada left, he sued for the assets of ISKCON on the basis that the son inherits the property of the father. Now, in Indian law, that's the precedent, except in one condition: if your father takes sannyas, because then the father's considered socially dead, and then it's a new person. It's not your father anymore. It's a new person with a new legacy. So, unfortunately, Prabhupada's will, which was done in Mathura, and I actually remember the lawyer, was somewhat ambiguous, or something was wrong with it. So on that basis, he was suing. And therefore, the basis of the case is whether Prabhupada took sannyasa or not. So Narayan Maharaj, who was a disciple of Prabhupada's sannyas guru, actually performed the fire yagya when Prabhupada took sannyas. Prabhupada lived in the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math after he took sannyas, and they had quite, at that time, quite intimate association, to the extent that their Mahaprabhu deity, in the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math, Prabhupada's sannyas guru is Bhakti Pigan Kesha Maharaj, was donated by Prabhupada. So Narayan Maharaj went to Bombay, and you know, every day he had to drive, you know, they had to drive him an hour into the courts and sitting waiting for your testimony. And that's how he became very close with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who is the main person defending Prabhupada in a very, very glorious way. So, you know, he had that spirit of service, and before controversy, there was a lot of nice personal things. I remember sometimes he would take us out on Prikram with all the Gurukul students, and we'd go out to various holy places, and he would treat us with equal respect, and that was very, very sweet. He would come to the temple on Balaram's appearance day, this is the Krishna Balaram temple, and give lectures, and that was really sweet. And many of the holy places that devotees visit now that they feel, you know, it's like secondhand, no one saw them before Narayan Maharaj took us. Like, there's one incredible place called Ter Kadamba. One incredible place called Ter Kadamba, which is halfway between Jawet, where Srimati Radharani is married, and where all her friends are married, and in fact, in the Siddha Roop, the perfectional form in Krishna Leela of the residents of the our Guru Varg, our Parampara, they're all there as Manjaris. Oh, and then married in Jawet. And it's halfway between, it's about a 40-minute walk to Nandagram, and Radharani had the benediction that whatever she, by Durvasa Muni, that whatever she cooks, someone will be prosperous and long-lived. So somehow Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj is like the king, she somehow through Purnamasi got an arrangement that Radharani could cook every day. And she would go from Jawet to Nanda, and right in the middle is Ter Kadamba. And that's where Krishna would graze the cows. Or that's where Krishna's Goshala was. In fact, on Gopastami, the first day that Krishna takes out the cows, all the cowherd men of all Nandagram come to that place, still to this day, and there's a big feast. Some of you remember Ter Kadamba Baba, who's, you know, built up that place. But initially, you couldn't even get to that place. I remember Maharaj took us on Prikram, and we had to wade through water with thorns. So it was very nice. And we would get very nice classes sometimes. So, and I can see, you know, after Prabhupada left and after many of my godbrothers who were gurus couldn't handle the task and fell from the path, he gave shelter to many people and helped them in their spiritual life. Many, many people who I know who otherwise would have been lost in Krishna consciousness. And did do that in a mood of nice service. And, you know, but my remembrance of him is when he was just, you know, chanting and doing his bhajan in Mathura. And no one was coming there, not in Mathura, not in any parts. We can go in any time of the day, visit him. It's a nice sadhu. Go to functions. No one else was around. You know, now he had, you know, tens of thousands of disciples. Things do change. I did write something and post it of announcing his passing away. And last night, just with one or two friends, we met in my room and had some honor for him, and spoke of our remembrances and our gratitude to a great soul. So I wanted to share that with my friends. And my real friends are the Sangha members. That's for sure. Now, I'll read and discuss. It's an incredible book. And I don't know if this is a Gaudiya Math theme. I'm certainly not recommending people to go over there. You know, Prabhupada's position as the world acharya is unquestioned. But he did have god brothers that were pure devotees and great souls, and Srila Bhakti Rakshasa Sridharaj was no doubt one of them. Just listen to this. This is great. I'll read the first section, the Krishna conception. The grand tone, the divine tone, the call comes from the highest quarter, the divine quarter. Awake, arise, search for your fortune. And you cannot but have that. It is your birthright. It is the wealth of your own soul. So this is what mercy, I'll give comment, this is mercy when we meet a Vaishnava that awakens us to search for our fortune, which is our birthright, which is our wealth, and it's the wealth of our own soul. The thing that's treasured most is our own soul. And we're blinded to it by separatist consciousness, where we have other interest than who we are, which is a servant of Krishna. It is there the relationship with the highest divinity. It cannot but be within you. You are his creature. You exist in his connection and relationship. That's who we are. Our connection to God as his servant. And the universal interest is the will of God. And it's the universal interest is because the desires of God are the only desires that are good for everyone, and those desires that are linked up with his desires are the only desires that are good for everyone. And we exist to serve that desire, and it's only fair, it's only right. You must have some connection within you. Don't be afraid of your present position. Don't be disappointed. In this way, you would have preached to the world at large. Quote, all come. You want Lasam Anandam, the mellow of delight, the differentiated personification of Krishna and Vrindavan, and that is very magnanimously distributed in Navadvip, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he says, this is how we should preach. Don't matter what your position is, connect with Krishna. And And that connection is magnanimously distributed in Navadvip, the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Krishna conception is the highest conception. Whoa! Some emergency just happened. Excuse me? The emergency is that the lights went out, so I gotta get my flashlight. Be right with you. Krishna conscious conception is the highest conception, the absolute good, the absolute beauty, the absolute autocrat, the infinite. Vaikuntha in its fullest conception is Goloka. Vaikuntha has no kunta, that is no limitation. That is Vaikuntha, the conception of the infinite. When it is consonant with the Krishna conception, is considered the highest goal, the absolute, the autocrat, and the beauty. So, this is things we discussed. Vaikuntha is the fullest conception. Vaikuntha has no limitation, but even though it has no limitation, it's the conception of the infinite. When it is linked up with the Krishna conception, it's the highest conception. It's because it's that infinite which is the revealed to the fullest degree in the most intimate relationships of spontaneous love. That the good, the beautiful, rasa vaisaha, akila rasa mrita murti. So this is describing that. It is rasa, akila rasa mrita murti. It's the embodiment of complete nectar of relationship. All conceptions of rasa are harmonized. The Krishna conception of the absolute harmonizes different varieties of rasa. Rasa vaisaha, akila rasa mrita murti, that is not intelligible by our present senses. So the Krishna conception of the absolute is the full embodiment of everything, actually, of all love, of all relationships. In the Vrindavan proposal, the infinite is closest to the finite. So because the full manifestation of the absolute reality is Naralila, is the absolute reality when it is not covered by divinity. We discussed this many times. Divinity, majesty, high position covers a person and distances the person for the sake of that relationship which is limited to servitude. But the Vrindavan proposal, the infinite is closest to the finite. Uppercut. It's closest. Uppercut is where the infinite has come nearest to the finite beings as though one of them. When he is so close, so near, no one can easily recognize whether he is infinite or not. Mahaprabhu suggested to us, try for your fortune in Vrindavan. It is such a wonderful process. Nanda and Yasoda, Krishna's father and mother, have captured the absolute, and he is crawling in their compound. Aham iha nandavande yasyalinde parambrahma. Try to secure a position there, however negligible it may be. Try your fortune. So this is the highest thing. This is the highest thing where the infinite comes nearest to the finite. as though, why, out of that intimate love, the great comes near and close through the intimate love. He may be the president, but for his little child, he sheds that and comes near. He sheds the majesty. He sheds the distance. He sheds the position, and he comes near. To the extent that one can no longer recognize the person who is identified with that position. We're in search of such a fortune where all proposals are eliminated. Come, Pati.
Guru Maharaj, we lost you. We can't hear you.
Hare Krishna, can people hear me?
I can now, Maharaj.
I'm back. Oh,
Guru Maharaj?
Hello. Is that Chinese guy? Yeah. Okay, great. I got your nice note. A few people used to do that with me, email with me, and I was expecting that they would do it. But,
right.
You know, when the thing goes off. Got the better technology here, so I'm going to mute people and then some. Nope, that's not what I want. One second. One second, one more thing I got to do. Can someone unmute their phone and just say hello to make sure that I'm connected? Can someone tell me that they can hear me? Okay. Okay, thank you. So we're in search of a fortune where all other proposals are eliminated. We want something that's so good that there's nothing else that can be offered. To whom can I tell it, and who will believe it, that the Supreme Absolute, Param Brahman, the paramour of the damsels of Raja, is enjoying in the groves on the bank of the Jamuna, Padyavali 98. It is inconceivable that the Brahman, the greatest, the Absolute, has come to search for the least love of the gopis, damsels of the cowherd. Gopis and gopis are not a very high class in Vrindavan. it's not a high class. It's inconceivable that the greatest has come to search for their love. Someone has not muted their phone. He is approached in such a near and close way and in such an ordinary rural style. Wow, so beautiful. Try your fortune there. We are out to do just that under the guidance of Sri Chaitanya, who is understood to be the combination of the positive and negative aspects of the Absolute. This is such an important point. God is the positive. He's everything. And we're the negative in the sense that we are nothing without God. Okay, one second, I'm muting things again. Well, I thought I was. One second. The positive is busy distributing himself. Mahaprabhu is that infinitely and inconceivably generous aspect of the Supreme. Sri Chaitanya Dev is both Radha and Krishna combined. He is Krishna in the mood of Radha, searching for himself. He is both the positive and negative aspects of the Absolute. He's the devotee. Why is there a devotee and there's God? Devotee is the negative aspect of the Absolute. Negative in the sense that he's nothing without God. And when he realizes that he's nothing without God, then he has God. Then he attracts God. And then when that happens, the negative can give the positive. The devotee who is not God but dependent on God becomes filled with God and can give God to others. The Shankaracharya school and other impersonalists claim that when the positive and negative combine, the result is a kind of equilibrium. But according to the Vaishnava philosophy, the combination is dynamic. His nature becomes that of searching for himself, searching for his own positive self in the mood of the negative. So that's Chaitanya. He's God, but searching for God, searching for the positive, searching for his own positive self in the mood of the negative. In that search, he distributes himself to others. The negative attracts the positive, and the positive is thus distributed to the public. This is the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The intimate associates of the Lord have revealed such a conception, and we shall be able to conceive it according to the intensity and degree of our faith. So this is really the mood of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that to achieve the highest thing, we have to cultivate an attitude of humility. Otherwise, we will not be able to attract the highest thing, or we won't be able to appreciate the highest thing. And appreciating the highest thing and attracting the highest thing are the same thing. And it's a very, very, and it's actually, it's the way we have to do our bhajan. It's not just syllables, it's the spirit within the syllables given by the chanter that invoke the holy name of Krishna to descend. Not the syllables. Not just the syllables. The syllables are the suitable receptacle which become infused to life by the spirit of devotion within our heart. And therefore, in true Krishna-conscious bhajan or chanting, there can't be a dichotomy, such a dichotomy between who we are outside of our chanting and who we are within our chanting. Of course, this doesn't indicate renunciation. It indicates dedication. We don't waste too much mental energy on renunciation, because we have to think of the objects of the senses and batter our heads against them. But we sacrifice everything for God, including those things that we're attached to, and perhaps may have to keep to become peaceful in spiritual life. So this spiritual life is really, really serious, serious business. It's really, really serious business. And we're fortunate to have connection with one who has executed that business, Srila Prabhupada and other great souls, have executed that business with realization and seriousness, and therefore can communicate it to us. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Gail.
I didn't get the translation for Nara Leela and what your the point you were making about Nara Leela.
Well, let me see what I can remember. Yeah, that he was making the point that in Krishna Leela, the infinite comes closest to the finite. Because the infinite becomes as if one of us. But the point I was making, unless God comes as if one of us, then how can he reveal the full nature of his heart, which is not just as our master, but as our friend, as our parent, as our child, friend, equality, child, inferior, or lover, which has those aspects and even more. So unless God comes as Nara Leela, it means as a human, or at, like us, in size, and then how can we understand the fullest manifestation of the infinite, which includes his heart and his loving dealings? Mm-hmm. That's clear now, Gail?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hey, Jaini Tai, down in Arizona?
Yeah, it's we were looking at the weather. We seem to have very similar weather to Vrindavan. It's actually raining in a weird change, but usually, it's kind of dry and cool nights and warm sunny days.
Right.
I just wanted to thank you for the nice class and appreciated your glorification and remembrance of His Holiness Narayan Maharaj.
I found out yesterday morning our time, my chokidar, who's a Bengali, a very nice person, speaks English, came and told me right after I gave my morning class. And then I immediately went over to see Borijan and we sat down and talked and discussed the matter. And then unfortunately I was able to have a close associate or two in the evening. Very important to honor the Vaishnavas beyond party spirit, but at the same time recognize that the world, things are very, there's practical decisions people make sometimes. I don't always agree with them, but there are practical decisions. Okay, Jaini Tai, give my love to your family. Happy New Year. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, good much. Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Anand.
Shanan, are you freezing down there in Alachua too?
No, it's a little bit cold, but it's not freezing. I wanted to express some gratitude, Maharaj, for the sharing you do before each class. I found that it's very inspiring and it's teaching me a lot, like about respect and have a balanced point of view and get a taste a little bit for the places you are. So I wanted to share it with you. Thank you for spending every class few minutes in telling where you are and how you see things. Really nice.
Well, thank you for encouraging me in that. I need feedback to mold my presentation according to the needs and desires of the audience. Well, thank you for that very much. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Shastra, you're linked up here on Wednesday, too. Great.
I have a special guest that would like to say Hare Bhau.
Okay.
Maharaj, Gunagrahi Goswami here. Glory to Prabhupada Vastis.
Hey, Maharaj. Wow. Hare Krishna.
Thanks for your great class.
Great.
Looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
It's like sports. Sometimes you strike out, sometimes you hit a home run, you know. Classes sometimes are good, sometimes. Yeah, but the Puri, great to hear from you, Maharaj.
It's great to hear you after such a long time.
Wow. Great. And Puri looks like it'll be really nice. A lot of some good Kirtaneers are coming. That's great, you know.
Fantastic.
Some really good young Kirtaneers are coming, and so I'm looking forward to it. Okay. Hare Bhau. Thank you. Wow. Thanks, Shastra, for linking me up with the nectar there.
Bye,
anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Rajarajan, Devadasi.
Hare Krishna, I'm coming back in March. I think March 9th, I'll send out something. We have to go over to your house and spend some time with your family, maybe do a program. So we should be in touch about that, okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, Vanshakalpa Tarubya Shakapasindubi.